Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I'm lamenting the fact that I don't have an evil old man to take money from, because, you know, you don't have to feel bad if they're evil, so it'd be nice to have somebody like that in our lives.
I think it's still stealing, Matt.
Yeah, but if you're stealing from an evil person, is it really morally wrong?
Yes.
Man, you have a strict moral code, Robbie. I envy that.
I guess that is what I am, just an upright guy. I just can't deal with any, you know, moral ambiguity. It's black and white. There's wrong mm-hmm. and then there's right, and there's nothing in between.
And everything is wrong to Robbie.
That's
everything.
That's what Mr. A says. Hey, guys. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. You go there, you donate $2 a month, and you can access all of our bonus material, including monthly bonus episodes, weekly episode reviews of new episodes that, you know, are coming out now-ish, weekly articles written by me, the video of us making and eating moon waffles that were it was a struggle. We are ad-free because of that fact, and we have someone to thank, Matt.
We do? Yay!
I know. I'm always happy when we get a new person to thank. It is time to thank Thomas Martin Basiaco. Thank you, Thomas, for your support.
Yes, thank you, Thomas.
Also, if you want to help the show out, give us a 5-star review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out, gets us up on those rankings, those algorithms, whatever, and lets new people see the show, lets new people find us. Also, you can just tell your friends. Obviously, we appreciate that. Share us on Twitter or Facebook or wherever.
Even if you've told your friends before, keep telling them. You'll eventually wear them down.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that's how I generally.
Or if you get your friends to pay you to stop talking to them, then you can give that money to us, and the world's a better place.
Who pays people to stop talking to them?
I don't know. Rich people with,
threats of physical violence is how awkward. I get threats of physical violence is how I get things done, Matt. Money is not ever coming into the equation. Speaking of money, this week's episode is Burns Air, episode 1F16, originally aired April 14th, 1994, written by Jace Richdale, only episode written by Mr. Richdale, although he served as a co-producer for many years on the show and has gone on to produce many other television projects throughout the years. He is currently working on The Man in High Tower, which I've been recommended to watch, have not watched it yet.
Basically, he was better at other stuff than writing.
One episode, it's pretty good.
He was better at other stuff.
He probably is, I would imagine, less effort or less stress. Who knows? Let's see. Finished 53rd in the ratings of the week of April 11th to 17th. Nielsen rating of 9.4. Viewed in 8.85 million households. Dropped 4 places in the rankings after finished 49th the previous week. It was the third highest rated show on Fox that week, following Living Single and Married with Children. They were off for a while. You know, if you've been keeping track, there's like a month gap. I'm guessing it's something had to do with that. You know, probably people forgot that was on.
It happens a lot.
Sometimes, you know, the chalkboard gag, Pledge of Allegiance does not end with Hail Satan.
Well, it depends on whose version of it.
Honestly, it depends on, you know, different interpretations, you know. Depends who you ask, I guess. The couch gag, the Simpsons are balls that bounce around the room onto the couch. Bart almost bounces away. Homer catches him, throws him onto the couch. It's a nice one. I like it. I kind of forgot about it a little bit.
It's clever. They haven't used it into the ground yet.
Yeah, it's one you don't see a bunch. Episode guest stars Phil Hartman as Lionel Hutz. Small role.
But in a very minor role.
Yeah, it's like what, 3 lines maybe? Not a bunch. Episode begins with Homer winning an employee raffle to become an industrial chimney sweep.
How else are you going to get someone to do it? I don't know why you need a person.
You don't need a person to do that thing. But it's really just an excuse to show Burns. He is contrasted to Homer suffering. Burns is in a bath.
Not to mention, this is a nuclear power plant. What in the world are they scrubbing? That's a steam evaporation tower. There shouldn't be that dirty. It's not a coal plant. Anyway, sorry.
Burns is relaxing in a bath, and Smithers going to retrieve a round sponge with no edges. He almost drowns Mr. Burns. His life flashes before his eyes. We see him as a baby firing, a nanny. Him firing a muzzle loading pistol at a hobo, a tramp, and then him finally infiltrating Greenpeace and sinking one of their ships.
Which I'm sure he was very proud of.
I'm sure he is too. But he's found underwater by Smithers, and Smithers not rescuing. that was a thing that it kind of struck me a little bit. That Smithers doesn't go immediately try and pull him out of the water. He just goes, "Oh, he's dead. I'm sad."
Oh, shucks. Darn. I guess he got all his money now.
Burns suddenly.
That's what he thinks at this point.
I don't know. Burns springs out of the water and is not dead, but is kind of melancholy now, and he realizes kind of with his death, a reminder that his death can come at any moment, and probably relatively soon because he's an old man, he is sad because he doesn't have any children. He has no one to leave a legacy to. Smithers is momentarily thinks that he would receive the entirety of Mr. Burns' fortune, but then Mr. Burns reveals his plan for Smithers, which is to be buried alive with Mr. Burns, of course.
Right, underneath his feet, of course.
Yeah, and there's even a little figures. I don't know where Mr. Burns got those figures, but he hatches a plan, basically, to get himself an heir. We cut to the family at the movie theater. We get a THX kind of parody where I guess THX had just come into existence, or it was just becoming a thing. And so they did that. Do you remember when it started?
I really don't. The point this episode came out, I was about 11 years old, and we didn't go to a whole lot of movies, so I don't even remember THX being a thing. I think they stopped doing it before I actually watched movies and paid attention.
It was founded in 1983, but I'm guessing those ads, the Deep Note ads, let me see, I'm trying to find it. I don't know. Here, from there being appeared before all movies from July 1st, 1983 to August 30th, 1997.
So yeah, shortly after they did this, they stopped doing it.
THX actually had a new one that kind of played off of this after this one came out. So that's, you know, kind of another long line of Simpsons parody something, and then that thing reacting to it. But we also see an ad in front of the movie with Burns asking for heirs, calling out for people to come and apply, basically, to be his heir, which is, I think, a reference to at least the setting of his ad is like toys. Is that what that's? Yeah, it's
a
Williams movie, Toys, that the setting of that field and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we get cut to the auditions.
No. Mr. Burns then has to sing and dance in order to be in a commercial before a movie with the candy and sodas.
Yes, let's all go to the lobby, which probably was a fun callback at the time, but now that's kind of been... there's been many of those now, the Let's All Go to the Lobby parodies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still funny. It's still fun, Mr. Burns dancing and singing. We get the auditions where the children of Springfield are desperately trying to earn Mr. Burns' approval, I guess?
Well, I have nothing to offer you but my love.
I specifically said no geeks.
But my mom says I'm cool.
Next.
Give me your fortune or I'll pound your withered old face in.
Ooh, I like his energy. Put him on the callback list.
Clang, clang, clang with the trolley. Ring, ring, ring with the bell. Zing, zing, zing with my heartstring.
Thank you. Give the bully an extra point.
I propose to you that your heir need not be a boy. In this phallocentric society of ours...
Yeah, I don't know what phallocentric means, but no girls.
So much for plan B.
That's So good.
Wow. I remember every single one of those editions. I still sing Martin's stupid little heartstring song and the But My Mom Says I'm Cool. I'm pretty sure I say that at least once a week. This is just masterful writing.
It's great. It's really great. It's so funny. The Lisa in the phallocentric society. I don't know what phallocentric means, but no girls. It's so
I really should use that word more often.
So
great word.
So good. But with everyone, I guess Nelson is the leader going into the clubhouse, with Bart being the only Simpson left to try and redeem them, I guess.
Okay, boy. I wrote down exactly what to say. Just read it and you're a shoo-in.
Hello, Mr. Kearns. I bad want money now. Me sick.
Ooh, he card reads good.
So pick, please, me, Mr. Burns.
It's Kearns, stupid!
No, it's not.
Disregard.
Don't, he's the worst yet. That's it. Everyone out.
Oh, you cut the part where he gets hit by the boot?
I'm not going to have 10 seconds of Mr. Burns silently,
cranking a giant wheel.
Yeah. Kick
Bart with a mechanical boot.
Bart gets kicked by a mechanical boot, which is...
Bart gets kicked in the butt a lot. That seems to be a thing. Australia, now here.
He doesn't get kicked in the butt in Australia, honestly. That is what...
Well, that's true. He avoids it.
That's his punishment.
Maybe this is why he learned here to avoid the boot in the butt.
Yeah, exactly. He has training. Burns is angry, I guess, because he's dissatisfied. As the Simpsons walk to the car, Homer gives advice to both Bart and Lisa.
I think Bart and Lisa are feeling a little upset right now. Isn't there something you'd like to say?
There sure is. Kids, you tried your best, and you failed miserably. The lesson is, never try.
Homer is such a great father.
Lesson. Yeah. Really, he teaches a kid the important things in life, not silly things like kindness and, frugality.
No. Don't try. Never try. And before they can leave, Bart kind of hangs back. He's upset. He's angry. And I think it's mainly because he got kicked. I don't think he cares, honestly, if he, got to be Burns' heir. I think it's just that he was singled out and kicked by Burns for no real apparent reason. And
so essentially, Mr. Burns should have given the money to Nelson and would have had he not been egregiously mean to Bart.
Yes. So Bart, as kind of payback, is Burns and Smithers are kind of dwelling on the fact that he will never have an heir when they find Bart destroying large portions of Mr. Burns' property. He smashes...
In a very clever way, I gotta say, wrapping the hose around the heads.
Yeah, that was good. He throws rocks at first just to break windows, but then he wraps a hose around all the heads of the statues and then puts the end in Mr. Burns' car and then turns the water on. The pressure snaps off the heads of the statues, although I don't think real statues would do that, but whatever. And then floods Mr. Burns' car, which is pretty heinous crime. That could ruin a car forever. It would smell bad forever.
The old Stunts Bearcat.
Stunts Bearcat?
I believe that's the model of Mr. Burns' car.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
It's from the Trillion Dollar Bill episode.
Ah, okay.
Well, that might be a different car, but I thought that was this one.
And maybe it is. But Burns sees Bart and actually admires his kind of tenacity and, frankly, his anger and viciousness. That's the thing that Burns likes. And so he basically, at that point, decides Bart is worthy of being his heir and brings him over to the dark side.
After a good Christmas Carol reference, of course.
Yes, of course. And then we go to the commercial.
And when we come back, we have a little ceremony going on where Mr. Burns is going to sign a paper making Bart his heir, and Bart's going to sign it, and then it's official. And, of course, Homer immediately attempts to take possession of all Mr. Burns' property, saying they have to get over there and let all the old man stink out. But of course, they don't get it immediately because that would be crazy. Homer then, upon learning this, tries to scare Mr. Burns to death and only succeeds in giving his father a mild heart attack. Burns goes back to his mansion to spend time alone, and Marge, being the bleeding heart that she is, suggests Bart spend some time with him, which is terrifying. Oh, yeah, go spend some time with this evil old man that we know is completely evil. That's a really good idea.
Well, It does. I don't know. Burns is very kind of forlorn and sad here. And, you know, when you're going to leave someone millions of dollars, I think that they felt bad for him. Like, they kind of saw through to why he was doing this.
True. That seems that you think they would want to spend time with Burns and Bart, not the two of them alone. I guess there's Smithers there, but I don't think he'd be much help in an emergency. But anyway, Bart goes on to have dinner with Mr. Burns, and they appear to be eating old person food that Bart, you know, isn't really into. So he asks Burns to get him a little something.
I think I'd like to go home.
Oh, if you stay, you can have anything you want to eat, even some sort of gelatin dish. It's made from hooves, you know.
Anything, huh? Okay. I want pizza. And I want it delivered by Krusty the Clown.
Hey, it's Krusty the Pizza Man! All right, where's my $400?
Hey, wait. How can you be here when your show's on live?
I just threw on an old rerun. No one will know the difference. Children, remain calm. The Falkland Islands have just been invaded. I repeat, the Falklands have just been invaded. The disputed islands lie here, off the coast of Argentina.
Oh, poor Krusty. That's the perfect episode to pick, although how Krusty read that when he was functionally literate at the time is it's one of those things that the Simpsons fans picked up on pretty quickly and still talk about to this day.
It goes back and forth. There are many instances of Krusty reading things. It's convenient. He can't read when it's convenient. It's much like the layout of the Simpsons house. It changes when necessary.
That's true.
Yeah. I do like that they chose the Falkland Islands to be the event.
That's the historical event that marks it. I'm pretty sure that most people watching Krusty's show would have been like, oh, huh, that's interesting. Anyway.
Yep. Those Falkland Islands certainly do exist.
They're super important. That's right. Anyway. At this point, Bart is suitably impressed, so Mr. Burns shows him his secret surveillance room, which he was inspired by the movie Slither, which I've never seen. Have you seen Slither, Robbie?
I have seen Slither. It's a creepy movie.
Oh, good to know. Do you think I would enjoy it?
It's fine. It's not great. It's okay. Hey, Sharon Stone.
I'll put it on the hospital
one of,
list.
One of, the, one of the Baldwins? I forget which one. Not Alec. I think it's one of the lesser Baldwins.
Daniel, Steven,
I think it's Steven. I want to say.
It's not so bad. As long as it's not Adam.
No, it's not Adam. It's not. It's one of the Alec clone Baldwins, you know.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Steven. It's okay. It's fine.
All right. Well, at this point, Mr. Burns apparently gets to see into everybody's home, which is super creepy, including the Simpson home, where we find out that Homer has a secret shame of eating flowers.
Which is such a weird thing. I don't
know. Well, Homer is a glutton, and that's kind of one of those weird things. But as we hear from Bart, that explains his secret trip to Holland.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
At the end of Mr. Burns' tour, Bart returns home to the family and has dinner with them. And you can tell that it's already started to eat away at him, at his civility, because Mr. Burns pretty much gives him whatever he wants. He berates Lisa. He feeds the meatloaf to the dog, which is a heinous crime because meatloaf is one of the best of all loaves.
I don't know about that.
Come on, name a better loaf.
Any kind of bread.
Oh, meatloaf has bread within it, and also meat.
It's just like a platform for ketchup, and I'm not a big fan of that.
Not a big fan of ketchup, but if you put the right stuff in meatloaf, it is amazing. Be careful, I will set my wife on you.
I'm not saying meatloaf's bad, all right? I'm just saying, you give me, like, a loaf of any kind of bread, it's more versatile.
That's true.
Two, you get all kinds of arrays of dessert breads. Okay, pumpkin loaf with like that's a loaf right there, and that has like that yummy cream stuff in the middle.
All right, fair enough. I still say meatloaf is the best loaf, but you can make a hell of a sandwich with meatloaf as your outside.
But you just chose meatloaf over the bread, Matt. How am I going to make a sandwich? I only have meatloaf.
meatloaf on the outside and fried chicken on the inside, obviously. Didn't we learn nothing from the Double Down?
That's... it doesn't sound that appetizing to me.
Oh, anyway, moving on. Bart is, of course, outraged that the family would try to rein in his evil tendencies and goes to be with Mr. Burns. He basically runs away from the family. And Mr. Burns is not really surprised.
Smithies, my plan worked perfectly. Bart Simpson will live here as my son, and I will mold him in my own graven image. Who knows? I may even grow to love him. Bartholomew! Ugh! Smithers, get it off me!
So Burns has a little bit of work to do with the whole loving thing. Homer, of course, follows Bart because, you know, he's a responsible parent this time. What follows is a tense standoff between Homer and Mr. Burns, Smithers, and Bart.
I suggest you leave immediately.
Or what? You'll release the dogs or the bees? Or the dogs with bees in their mouth and when they bark they shoot bees at you? Well, go ahead. Do your worst. He locked the door.
That really is the worst. My goodness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is pretty definitive. You can't really do anything after that.
I don't know. Dogs that shoot bees from their mouth, that'd be pretty amazing. That might discourage me even more than a locked door, because I can always kick a door in, probably. But anyway, the Simpsons, of course, do not take this lying down. They go to see a lawyer, the only lawyer in town that they can afford, which is Lionel Hutz, of course.
Of course.
Who does a great job here. He is apparently a lawyer and also shoe repair at this point, and used Orange Julius salesman, which is disgusting, but hey.
I would just go to get the real thing. Real Orange Julius.
Yeah. Now you get them any Dairy Queen, because they went out of business, because they weren't good enough.
There's still some. Mm. There's still some Orange Julius. Standalone. They're like in malls.
Yeah. This ends predictably as, while in court, the judge actually finds that Montgomery Burns is Bart's biological father somehow.
Well, I think it's the doing of, that's how bad Lionel Hutz is. I think that is just, that's all it is.
And of course, Lionel Hutz, as we see, spent way too much time trying to fix the judge's shoes rather than argue the case. And with that, we got to commercial.
And when we come back, Bart is living with Mr. Burns, and he is in a gigantic playroom, I guess. He's there with Milhouse. Milhouse is hanging out with him. There's a train, not a full-size train, but like a toy. It's not like a model train. I don't know what to call it. It's like a big enough, a children's size train. You can ride it. Like, if you're a child, you could ride the train.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
even then, you'd be a giant on it.
Yeah, and it takes hours to make a circuit, and it comes back with snow on it sometimes. It's great.
So, yeah, it's
kind of
weird.
Yeah, but we're kind of seeing the isolation of Bart, and he realizes that maybe it's not so great living with Mr. Burns. Yes, money can buy a lot, but it can't get him, like, everything. Milhouse kind of ends up leaving.
Can you get you a miniature Lamborghini?
Burns attempts to play football and hurts himself. Bart does get a sports car that he...
With the jaws of life in the trunk?
Yeah, jaws of life, just in case. And he goes on a joyride. It's all kind of very visual. Most of this stuff is very visual, so I can't really pull any clips from it. But it's kind of him going through like these empty, shallow pleasures, trying to get something out of it. At the same time, Homer and Marge are trying to get their son back. They go to a brain deprogramming guy. I don't call it a company, but it's a division of Mrs. Fields Cookies.
Of course.
Of course.
They're good. Cookies and deprogramming.
And they hired this gentleman who we think kidnapped Bart to deprogram him from him, I guess, his... mindless devotion to Burns, although I don't think it's much simpler than brainwash, but
it's not really mindless. It's very considered.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's not, I don't know, but we cut to see the results of his deprogramming.
Well, it was a grueling 2 weeks, but you have your son back.
Mom, Dad, I missed you.
Homer, that's Hans Moleman.
Can I keep him anyway?
Oh, Moleman.
I like the Marge. I like the Marge knows his name. I think that's fun. Bart and Burns are watching Itchy and Scratchy on a gigantic television. Is this the largest, world's largest television? I think Burns has made
that
claim.
Like that, yeah.
Burns had made that claim before. I believe that was in
the free world.
Last Exit of Springfield, I think he says that, right? When he's showing Homer around
the
house. Yeah. And they're watching Itchy and Scratchy. Mr. Burns laughs at it a little too much.
Yeah. He's a little too involved with the gore.
A little sadistic, kind of, in the much he likes the violence. But Bart is kind of upset and wants to go home.
I was hoping I wouldn't have to tell you this, but I'm afraid your family doesn't want you back.
I do not miss Bart at all.
I am glad he's gone.
As am I.
Bo!
It's probably my imagination, but something about them didn't seem quite right.
Really? Excuse me for just a moment. People, that was all wrong. Homer Simpson doesn't say Bo, he says...
So,
I gotta say, that little person did a hell of a Lisa impression.
I know that Lisa, I think, is just actually Yardley Smith. But I do enjoy the actors portraying the family, which Burns has quite a lot, extensive kind of amount of work to stage this, charade to kind of keep Bart with him. We have like the guy playing Homer is like a Michael Caine kind of guy, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know who the lady playing Marge is supposed to be.
Apparently she's from Murphy Brown, so probably somebody famous that people would have recognized in the 90s.
Yeah, and it's a little small, an Estonian little person is playing Lisa. As we learn later from Lisa. But Burns corrects the actors, shows Homer saying dough, not even that well. He goes, dough. And
kind of like his print.
Yeah, exactly. Like it looks like you should say it. And Bart is convinced, kind of. But this isn't enough for Burns. He needs to test Bart's loyalty and kind of push Bart to make a real decision. You know, he can't. So he brings Bart to his office at the power plant and tests him by bringing in employees and telling them and basically having them fired in front of him.
Okay, let's make this sporting, Leonard. If you can tell me why I shouldn't fire you without using the letter E, you can keep your job.
Okay. I'm a good work guy.
You're fired.
But I didn't say...
You will.
Let me try one.
Hey, the trail of donuts ended. Bart!
Homer!
What a coincidence. And a perfect opportunity for you to prove your loyalty. Go ahead, Bartholomew. You may fire when ready. Hurry. Fire him now or I'll disown you. You'll lose everything. The fabulous toys, a lifetime of wealth and luxury, the gift certificate from Blockbuster Video, the freedom to do whatever you want.
I'll miss you, son.
I'm sorry, Dad. You're fired.
What? Fire me? That does it. You can never be my son.
A little to the left.
Huh? No, very well. You can never be my...
Sir, try to land on Leonard's carcass!
That is a great scene. Although, I wondered this when I was a kid, and I'll go to it now. There were a lot better ways that Bart could have done that rather than pissing off Mr. Burns. He really could have just faked it with Mr. Burns and not spent that much time with him and just given the money to his family. Because, that would have helped them out a lot.
He's a 10-year-old child, Matt.
Yeah, they're not very bright.
Not necessarily. You know, I can't presume him to have some kind of grand scheme. But I really, and the Bart is reunited with Homer and then the family, and they then tell him about the fact that Burns had actors impersonate them, and how they basically lived with the Simpsons for several weeks to learn their character, which is kind of, it's an impressive amount of study for an actor who's
paying them a lot.
An actor for literally an audience of one, and they find their new brother, who's Mole Man. he's like kissing a peanut.
Mom, Dad.
That's pretty good, Matt. I like it. It's good. We can add that to your routine.
All right. I'll take over for Mole Man in case anything ever happens to him.
Oh, I hope not. He's a very important cast member.
Is. I mean, he stole the Simpsons car that led to Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson becoming friends. It's very important.
Just let him die. It's a good episode. I like how the episode, like, it begins with Burns hurting Bart, and Bart ends up getting Burns in the end, kind of, in a weird, circuitous way. Like, I like how it kind of bookends the episode in that way. It's really clever writing. There's a nice mix of character and humor.
I would have to agree. Overall, it's a very tight episode. There's no B story to detract from the action, or in the case of this week's, you know, new episode. It doesn't tie into it or anything like that. But yeah, there's a lot of really funny jokes, especially in the first act, which is kind of long, is where a lot of the humor is, especially in the auditions to Mr. Burns' heir. It's great. To this day, I still remember everything that everyone says during that, and will often repeat it. It's just amazing writing.
Yeah, it's a really good episode. We will rank it at the end of the show, see where it ends up. Next up is my favorite episode. We have a submission this week, Matt.
Yay!
Yes, we do. This is from Barney from London, UK. Worldwide, Matt. We are worldwide.
In English-speaking countries, mostly.
Actually, we are doing pretty well in even non-English-speaking countries.
Whoa. We're great for practicing English.
If my research is true. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, though. At least what I've been told. This is from Barney. Hi, Matt and Robbie. My favorite Simpsons episode of all time has to be Burns' Heir. This was one of the first episodes I remember watching as a child, so for nostalgia reasons alone, I enjoy rewatching this over and over again. The episode itself has a lot of heart, with strong themes of family appreciation throughout. But what makes this episode the most enjoyable, in my opinion, are the sheer amount of throwaway lines and gags. Harmless Tobacco, Mr. Kearns, the Moody Theater, Lobby Song and Dance, Homer's confession about eating tulips, Hans Molman's peanut-like head are all iconic lines that I've adopted in my day-to-day vocabulary. My personal highlight of the episode has to be when Burns reveals his funeral plans that include burying Smithers alive with him. And the fact that Burns went to the special effort in creating miniature figures portraying Smithers in a cowering pose while screaming was so unnecessary yet totally brilliant. Big fan of the podcast, and feel free to plug my dessert-based Simpsons Instagram page at Sprinklesfield. So there you go. Yeah, I will be shortly following this Instagram page, dessert-based Simpsons Instagram page. Maybe you'll actually be able to make food that is not disgusting, Matt.
I don't know. After the milkshake, I certainly hope we can try.
Yeah, but there you go. At Sprinklesfield. You guys want to check that out? I'm sure Barney would be thankful. And thank you, Barney, for submitting that. If you guys have a favorite episode, submit it to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. And I will include it when we get to that episode. Yeah. Next segment is comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group and see what was going on during the week or two after the episode debuted, see what people were talking about. You know, lately, especially this season, has been a lot of doom and gloom mixed with high praise. It's, you know, fickle fans going, this episode is great, this episode is terrible. This was kind of a middle-of-the-road kind of thing. There was not many people saying it was the worst episode ever or the best there. You know, people liked it or they thought it was boring. I don't know.
Fair enough.
I don't know what they want. Again, boring? It's a good episode.
Yeah, I really don't know. The people back then, they must have had a lot of other things that they could be doing at the same time.
I don't know. It gets tiring reading week after week about how terrible this is, and yet it's some of the best television ever made. But there was one thing that I actually never really thought about. It is about the origins of the word cowabunga, which Bart had used, you know, back in the day. I'm not sure. I can't place a time when he necessarily stopped, but he did at a point. I don't know. But this guy is talking about the origin of the word cowabunga, where it actually came from. You know, it's in surface slang, but it actually originated on, see, even earlier was the Howdy Doody Show. Kids' puppet show that also featured live actors. One was Bill Leclerc, I think, who played Chief Thunder Thud of the Oogragnak tribe. That's kangaroo backwards. You people didn't realize. He sported a pencil-lined mustache under his war paint. It was a most unlikely Native American. Anyway, their war cry was cowabunga. The book, Hey Kids, What Time Is It? It's spelled K-O-W-A-B-O-N-G-A. But I was a kid in the 50s, and the pronunciation is the same. Thus, the origin of the phrase comes from circa 1952, and Howdy Doody Show was around. So that was the first time. It was a racist epithet. That's great. But it's kind of been appropriated. It was appropriated by surf and kind of skateboard culture in the 80s. And then I think, and that is where Bart would have probably picked it up from, you know, him as a skateboarder. A little history lesson for you guys out there.
Yay, history.
Yeah, history. History's good. But with that, I think we can move on to our next segment, Matt. It's time for our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite moment involving an animal from the show? Tons of great answers and tons of unexpected answers. I'm always pleased by the kind of it speaks to the breadth of The Simpsons when there are so many answers to these questions. First from Twitter, we have Andy at AndyMans22. A special bulletin, the Lincoln squirrel has been assassinated. We'll stay with the story all night if we have to. Sean at ShawneeMac15. Homer, are you wearing a tie just to impress Laddie? Do you think he noticed? Brett at Brett Frisky. Look, he thinks he's part of the Models, Inc. Aww. And then the cat jumps in front of the television. Get that cat out of the way! It's from, the Dalmatian episode, which was a very popular answer. Let's see. Elliot's answer. Pretty much anything involving Mojo the helper monkey. He had attached a picture of poor Mojo passed out.
Pray for Mojo.
There you go. Someone had to do it. We have Amy. The episode with Laddie, especially when he gives Bart a card saying he has to go to the bathroom. Bart saying, we have to find out where he keeps these things. We have Cameron, who has included the entire lyrics to See My Vest. Which, yes, it is a great song. And for efficiency, it has the most animal references in any kind of probably few minutes of The Simpsons. So yeah. If you're looking for the density of animal references, you're not going to see many more than that. We have Capitan. When a badger is inside Sam's little helper doghouse and Homer tries to get it out, badger my ass, it's probably Milhouse.
I love that line so much.
It's always Milhouse. We have Chris. Mojo should be the best answer. He'll go with nuke the whales. You don't really believe that, do you? I don't know. Gotta nuke something. Well put, Nelson. Gotta nuke something. Mm-hmm. We have Robbie. I have to go with season 50. I annoyed Gruntbot with the death of Snowball 2, then 3, then Coltrane. Poor Coltrane. The moment she decides to call Snowball 5, Snowball 2 is great meta humor, especially the Principal Tamzarian reference. RIP. Rest in peace, Coltrane.
Aw, poor little Coltrane.
Yeah, that Skitter walks by. It's like, but that's, yeah. Holly. We're here. We're queer. We don't want any more bears. Lenny, hey, that's a pretty catchy chant, Homer. Where'd you hear it? Oh, I heard it at the Mustache Parade they had every year.
The Mustache Parade.
It's a good name for it. We have Kevin. Wolves and cougars ate our roast beef, and the associated mumbling noises of said wolves and cougars. And finally, Zachary's answer. In your face, Space Coyote. Which I thought that's
Space Coyote?
Space Coyote. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm actually impressed because no one picked the one I had, and it is when Homer and Marge rescue a manatee. I cannot remember the name of the episode for the life of me. It's when Marge goes off on her own to, you know, find herself and meets a pretty much, you know, note for note Richard Gere, And it's a terrible episode. Just awful. It's one of the worst. But just comparing Homer to the manatee, and there are several shots that are like side by side. It's just, it really cracks me up. So that's what I'm going to go with.
My answer is also from Mysterious Voyage of Homer, which I do love. In your face, Space Coyote. It's a great one. I'm going to choose the moment when Homer wakes up from his chilly hallucinations, and he sees, he's like, oh, that the pyramid was just the, you know, he's making all the comparisons to what the things he's...
the pro shop.
Yeah, that's the pro shop. And then he sees, and the talking coyote was just that talking dog. And the dog tells him, find your soul. Homer.
Find your soulmate.
He's like, and then he's like, what? He's like, and the dog goes, woof! He's like, damn straight. That's, dogs don't talk. Yeah, I love that episode, and that is a great moment. It always stands out for me. Although Pray for Mojo is also amazing. There's so many good answers. It's hard to pick just one. Next week's question: what is your favorite Mr. Burns moment? Gonna have to think about that one. It's tough.
Yeah,
it's tricky. It's a tough one. But I'll put this question: all our social media will be on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. I put that question up. Any links to stuff I find during the week, I put them up there. There's tons of great discussion. Please like us, follow us. I really enjoy everyone's contributions. Matt, it is time. You know what time?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it is time for the new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The new Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I each challenge each other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, and one hard. Try and stump the other. This season, season 5, we have a wager. Whoever loses the contest we'll have to drink something we are calling a milkshake. It is going to have many Simpsons food items in it. A Duff beer, a Butterfinger, three slices of American cheese. There's a slew of things we're going to include. I'm actually getting to the point where I'm concerned it's all going to fit within, a blender, honestly. But we'll make it work. We'll find a way.
That's true. In addition, my wonderful wife went to Universal and got us our own squishy cup to drink it out of, so we'll have a themed beverage conveyance.
Oh, even better. So there you go. There you go, guys. We have, 6-7 more episodes in this season, I think, Matt?
Yep, getting down to the wire.
How about you start us off?
Alrighty. Your easy question for today: which of Mr. Burns' parents is still alive?
His mother.
Yeah, that is correct.
She's,
he never calls her because she's always striding around his Adam mill.
And she's who knows how old.
Yeah, all she can do is dial and yell. Which describes a few of my family members, too.
All they can do is dial and yell. All right, Matt, all of my questions I chose from, they're all from one episode.
Ooh,
they are all from our next episode for we're doing next week, which is Sweet Seymour Skinner's Badass Song.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's a great episode, and I wrote about it for our Patreon for this past week, because it actually has kind of the Bart Skinner dynamic a little bit. I wrote about that. Your easy question, Matt: what does Bart bring to show and tell that gets Skinner fired?
Santa's little helper.
Correct. That is correct.
Gets loose in the vents.
Does, and Willie has to chase him down.
Got to grease him up. All right, are you ready for your medium question?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right, there is a theme to my question, so I think you'll catch up on to it.
Okay.
In Lady Bouvier's Lover, what does Bart threaten to squirt on Mr. Burns to ruin his suit for his date with Marge's mother?
Is it, let me think, mustard?
And?
Ketchup?
That is correct.
Yeah, he has both.
Ketchup and mustard, and they both end up covered in it because they get in a fight.
Well,
it's pretty awesome.
Okay, your medium question, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
In Sweet Seymour Skinner's Badass Song,
gotta
five.
Say it like that.
I do. I mean, it's how it's pronounced. Five recurring characters make their first appearance. Name any of them.
What?
Name any of the five recurring characters making their first appearance.
I believe this is the first time we see Supernet and Chalmers, isn't it?
No. It is
no,
not.
It's not? Okay.
He is not one of them.
Five recurring characters. Huh. Hmm. Lunch Lady Doris?
Is this your final answer?
Yes.
Nope. Sorry.
Oh.
We have Luigi.
Really?
First appearance of Luigi. First appearance of the one-eyebrowed baby.
Oh, Gerald.
First appearance of Assistant Superintendent Leopold.
Oh, yeah.
And the first appearance of both Flanders' parents.
Both Flanders? Oh, that's right, because he calls them beatniks.
Yep.
Well, shoot. Well, now I'm worried for your hard question. That was insane.
Well, I gotta toughen up, man. I gotta close that gap. Give me a high, hard question.
All right, your hard question. Who turns in Larry Burns and Homer when they're on the run?
They end up holed up in basement and... Is it Homer?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
I'm afraid that's incorrect. It is actually Mole Man.
Oh,
when they're at the movies.
Oh, okay. I thought, Mole Man, wasn't there some scheme about loudly. They wanted to be caught? I thought that was the thing. And so Homer was, I forget what it was. I haven't seen this episode so long. Are they trying to get caught, though? What is the scheme there?
No, they're trying to ransom Larry back to him.
Right, okay, that's what it was. Yeah, back to Mr. Burns for the money. Okay, Matt, your hard question. In the episode, Lisa tells Bart he needs Skinner as a nemesis, and then lists three examples of protagonists and antagonists with, you know, a hero and their nemesis. Name the three pairs.
Maggie and the baby with the one eyebrow.
That is one of them.
Okay. Trying to remember. Let's see. Mellow, Yellow, and Mountain Dew.
That's two.
Okay. And, oh, God. Lisa, you're killing me here.
I thought.
You can hear it in my head.
Okay. We'll see. Come on.
Holmes and Moriarty?
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
That is correct.
Yes!
I don't know how you get that one and not the medium question.
I don't know. I have a hard time just coming up with random characters that happen, but if you ask me for a specific list, it's easier.
Oh, Matt, nice. You're like a monster.
I really am.
I do my best, and you still end up beating me. Now there is a 5-point gap with 4 episodes to go. I'm gonna have to get even harder. It's the only way. It's the only way I'm gonna close this gap. I have some more listener questions, listener submitted questions for you, Matt. Okay. These are all from John, who has submitted a massive list that we are working through. These are all about Flanders.
Ooh.
And okay. I want rapid fire. Okay, I want them quick. 10 questions. How old is Ned Flanders?
60.
Correct. Ned Flanders hates only 2 things in life. His father in what?
Post office?
Correct. What lifestyle did Ned Flanders' father and mother lead?
They were beatniks.
What make of car does Ned Flanders drive?
A Geo.
What trait of Ned's leads Bart to believe that Ned killed his wife Maud?
His womanly scream.
Correct. When the Simpsons first moved to Evergreen Terrace, Ned greets the new neighbors with a shirt that says what? That's a tricky one.
I have no idea.
I heart Webster.
Webster, I knew it had an 80s icon on it.
Even though he doesn't know this man, Ned is convinced that who is a jerk?
Lenny?
Correct. When Marge gives Ned bad advice, the Springfield bullies chase Ned into a zoo where Ned is attacked by what kind of animal?
I believe it's a baboon.
Correct. What is the name of Ned's store?
The Leftorium.
And finally, what is the name of the woman Ned marries in Las Vegas?
Didn't I ask? Ginger.
Correct. It is Ginger.
Okay.
So you missed, what, one?
I believe one, yes.
That's not bad. 9 out of 10. A minus.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, if you like to submit questions or a trivia theme that me and Matt will base our questions around, you are free to do so. Again, you can reach out to me at any of our social media, at our email, any of those things, and give me suggestions, and I'll try and include them. Okay. Mm-hmm. Matt, it is time for our final segment. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever, and how good they are. Where would you put this one, Matt? I'm curious if you have the same area in mind that I do.
I honestly have no idea. Was it better than last week's episode? That's tough. Because we ranked Deep Space Homer pretty high. Don't think it was quite that good.
It's not better than Deep Space Homer. I was looking much. Yeah. I was looking much lower on the list, honestly.
Much lower, huh?
I was looking in the low to the mid 30s area.
Okay, I was actually looking around Boy Scouts in the Hood as a good, Homer Bart episode.
I think I liked that episode a little bit more. I think it's more.
I think so too. That was just my anchor point.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like it's a kind of I'm looking like at a. Bart the Murderer, Duffless, yeah. Last Temptation of Homer, somewhere in there, I would say.
And I have a place in my heart for Duffless, so that's going to be pretty hard for me to rank this above Duffless. But I definitely think it's better than Bart the Murderer.
Okay. I mean, I don't have any like strong feelings. I think that they're very kind of similar episodes. I mean, this is kind of it does have some heart to it, and it is really funny. Has some great moments. I think it's. I would call it a good, not great, but I think that is kind of the neighborhood we're in.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those where it's got a solid moral core to the episode, which is always important for a good Simpsons episode. And the jokes are liberally scattered throughout, but the jokes don't have a lot of bearing on the actual plot of the episode. They're like almost halfway to Family Guy jokes. They're just kind of tangential to what's actually going on. I'm not saying it in a bad way. I don't want
to hear you slander the Simpsons like that. Okay, that is it's not cool. How about right below Duffless, right above Bart the Murderer?
I can go with that.
Okay, that's fine with me. That would put it at number 34 on our list. Right below Duffless, right above Bart the Murderer. Number one is still Cape Fear, holding strong for now, at least. We'll see how long it can last up there, number one spot. And last place is number 98 now, Homer's Odyssey. We're closing in on 100 episodes, man.
Goodness gracious, what do we do?
Keep going. There's a lot more. There's so many more. 100 is not even, like, it's barely scratching the surface.
Hopefully we do this long enough that we get to the point where Homer's Odyssey is no longer the worst.
It will not be the last. I guarantee there are worse episodes than Homer's Odyssey.
I'm sure there are. I just, don't know how long it's going to take us to get there.
Matt, if you die or want to quit, I will find someone else to replace you. Sorry.
Okay, good.
I know I'm very stubborn. I'm not going to stop. It's too good. Simpsons are too good to stop.
That's true. Never gonna give it up.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
Never gonna turn you around.
It doesn't matter. It's Rick Roll. You don't need to know the words. You can find this list on our website. It is simply thesimpsonshow.com. Just the name of our show as a website. You can find this list, new episodes, downloadable streaming, links to our Twitter, to our Facebook, to our RSS feed, to our Patreon. If you'd like to support us, obviously we'd appreciate that. Throw us a couple bucks. You feel the show's worth your while. We obviously really like it. Our next episode, as previously mentioned, is Sweet Seymour Skinner's Badass Song. It's a great episode. I rewatched it like last week, and I really, really liked it. Again, I've always had fond memories for it, so I'm interested to see where we place it, how it goes. Our discussion should be great.
For sure.
For sure. I think with that, we can call it a day. Check out my Twitter account. It's on it's Mixmaster Cereal. That's MixmasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour at handsomeboyscomicshour.com, iTunes, etc. If you like comics, check us out. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I have decided for the next week or so, I'm going to be touring grocery stores throughout Central Florida in an attempt to find the one with the best soda display, because I need a lot of soda. So if you want to get in contact with me, make a pretty one and leave a note somewhere inside. I'll find it.
Yes, that's true. Matt does drink a lot of soda. He rivals me in soda consumption, which is frightening, considering
it really is.
Considering how much I drink, it's a lot of soda.
Well, you drink less soda than energy drinks.
I drink I don't know, if you're going by pure amount, like ounces, it's more soda than energy drinks. I drink a lot of energy drinks, but because I drink some energy drinks, you drink more soda than I
do. That's probably true.
But anyway, I'm Rami.
And I'm Matt.
Keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.